Amen. I want to welcome all those who've tuned in online. And I want you to know before we started this, right here in this room, we prayed for you. And I want you to know that you're being prayed for. You're not forgotten. God's hand is on you wherever you are watching this service. And that we as a body of brothers and sisters in Christ prayed for you. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to read to you tonight out of Genesis 17, starting with verse 1, and I'm going to show you an amazing truth in the Word of God about how God reveals himself to a man named Abraham. God appears to Abraham. He's a farmer. And God tells him when he's 75 years old, I'm going to use you and I'm going to make a great nation of you. And at the end of the story, of course, that nation is Israel. And he tells him when he's 75 years old, you and your wife are going to have a son and I'm going to use that son and kings will come out of that. And one of the greatest kings, the greatest king that came out of it was the King of Kings, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. He told him this promise at 75 years old. 24 years have gone by, and Abraham is now 99 years old. God showed up and gave him a promise at 75, and 24 years have gone by. And God speaks to him in Genesis 17, starting with verse 1. Let me read it to you. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now I'm going to continue to read. I will make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now stop right there. That's significant, and I want you to see something. God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. The word Abraham means father of many nations. This summer, we've been talking about faith. And God told Abram, I'm going to call you Abraham, and you're going to be the father of many nations. The child has not been born yet. The promise has not happened, and it has not been fulfilled yet. But God calls those things that be not as though they were. God looked at Abram and said, I'm going to start calling you the father of many nations, which is Abraham. And every time I say that name, I'm calling you who you're going to be. Now don't miss this. This is so good. You see, God doesn't see who you are. He sees who you're going to be. Okay, and I believe that with all of my heart. Now, he loves you right where you are, but God's working in your life and has plans for your life just like he does for Abraham. Now, let me continue to read. No longer shall you be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, which is father of many nations, for I have made you a father of many nations. He hadn't yet, but he says he has. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And that the greatest king is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now, I want you to notice this. The covenant that God made with Abraham is still in effect today. It's in effect right now, this evening. The Bible says, God said, it's an everlasting covenant. It is not something that's passed away. It's not something that's been put on the shelf. It's not something that's been done away with. Okay, the benefits in this covenant belong to you and I tonight, and I'm going to show it to you. But let me keep reading. You and I are part of an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, if you would go back to Genesis 17, verse 1, I'm going to show you something very powerful. I have highlighted in the words, God told Abraham, I am Almighty God. Now, in the Old Testament, God had several different names. This is the name El Shaddai. Okay, the Hebrew word El Shaddai. Okay, God came to Abraham when he was 99 years old, and here's what he told him. He said, I am El Shaddai. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means the God who is more than enough. It means the God who is the all-sufficient one. It is the God who is the nourisher. Are you with me? Okay, now this is so powerful. Listen, Miss Vicki and I heard this message when we were young Christians, and this has the potential to really change your walk with God. Now, this is the first time in the Bible that God uses this name. All right, he comes to Abraham and he says, hey, I'm Almighty God. That's the translation they put in the Bible. But what he said to Abraham is, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough. Now, listen to me. In your life, whatever you're facing, your God is more than enough. Whatever you're dealing with, disease, finances, mountains, problems, whatever's going on in your life, your God, your Father, your Redeemer is more than enough. He is sufficient. Now think about that word. It says he is all sufficient. What's that mean? That means whatever you need, God has it available to you and for you. The last thing it means is to be nourished. All right, to be nourished. Listen, whatever you need in your life, your Father, your Redeemer, your Deliverer, your El Shaddai, he is sufficient to nourish you. Now, whether that's strength, whether it's peace in your mind, whether it's hope in your heart, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're concerned about, whatever you're worried about, God is enough to nourish you. I love that. And get you through whatever it is you're going through. He is El Shaddai. The God is more than enough. Now I want to go to another verse. I want to go to Galatians 3:26. Now what did I just tell you? I said the covenant or the agreement that God made with Abraham is an everlasting covenant. Now let's just take a minute and talk about covenant. Marriage is supposed to be a covenant. Okay? It is a covenant. Okay? A covenant between a man and a woman. When God made a covenant with Abraham, God agreed to do some things. He agreed to bless Abraham, and that covenant has not been broken, and it is still in effect today, and the promises in that covenant belong to you, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. I'm going to read to you out of Galatians 3:26 through verse 29. Look at what this says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, if you wouldn't mind, leave it right there. Now, isn't that a simple truth? Listen, you and I are the sons and daughters of God. How? Because we have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? We found out, how are we made right with God? We're made right with God by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, go to the next verse, please. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, leave it there if you would, please. All right, now, I believe that means water baptism, but it means more than water baptism. Okay, it means putting on Christ or stepping into Christ spiritually. All right, what does it say? It says you and I were baptized into Christ when we made Jesus our Savior. Then we were physically baptized. We were buried with Christ in water and raised to newness of life. And it says that when that happens, we put on Jesus. Now listen, what have we found out? Well, we found out that God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. Listen, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. All right, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Go to verse 28, please. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Please leave that up for a moment. Listen to me. What is that saying? It's saying that when you and I get to heaven, all that's going to matter is that we know Jesus. There's not going to be any distinction. See, God's not going to get up and say, all right, all the women on the left, all the men on the right. He's not going to do that. He's not going to get up and say, all the Jews on the left and all the Gentiles on the right. He's not going to say that. He's not going to say, if you're a slave, get over here. If you're free, get over here. No, there's only one distinction. Listen, there's only one distinction. What's that distinction? That I've been born again, that you've been born again, that you're right with God because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that's the only distinction. Are you with me? You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. But there's not now. Does that mean, oh, I'm not going to be a man when I get to heaven? Oh, my Lord. No, that's not what it means. Okay, we're not going to be a bunch, you know, like a mannequin in a store. You know, have you ever seen a mannequin with no clothes on? Right? I'm not trying to be weird, but right, you know? And they don't have any parts, right? So that's not what that means, okay? You're not going to be a mannequin, okay? You're going to be in Christ, all right? Does that make sense? Okay, go to the next verse, please. Verse 29. Now, notice this. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. What are we talking about? Abraham's covenant. All right, if you know Jesus as your Savior tonight, then you're the seed of Abraham and you're his heir. So the covenant that God made with Abraham belongs to you. You inherited it when you received Jesus as your Savior. Wow, are you with me? Okay, so that everlasting covenant belongs to you. I'm going to show you one more verse to just settle it in for you. Galatians 3:29. This is the New Living Translation. And now that you belong to Christ, you're the true children of Abraham. Now, how did you become a child of Abraham when you invited Christ into your life? Are you with me? Okay, you're the children of Abraham, and you are his heirs. What's an heir? That means everything God gave to Abraham belongs to me because I inherited it. Are you with me? Have you ever inherited anything before? You know, my mother and father are both deceased. And when my father died, my mother inherited everything he had. And when she died, my brother and I inherited everything she had. Are you with me? And I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I didn't deserve it. I got it because I was her son. Amen? Okay, so when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you automatically inherited the blessing of Abraham. And you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, you don't have a right to it. You get it because you know Christ is your Savior. Look what it says. It says you are the heirs of Abraham, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Now, when God gave the law to Moses, he told Moses this: if you're obedient, I'll bless you. If you're disobedient, I'll curse you. Okay, the curse was poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Jesus came along in Galatians 3:13, and it says that he redeemed you and I from the curse. Now, listen, don't miss this. You are not under a curse. You are not under a curse. Your grandmother's not under a curse. Your mother's not under a curse. Your mother-in-law's not under a curse, even though you might like to put one on her, all right? I thought I'd just pick on mother-in-laws, amen, right? Okay, don't let anybody ever tell you, well, you know, man, if you do this or you do that, you know, you could be under a curse. No. You see, you and I are redeemed from the curse. Because of Jesus Christ. Listen, Abraham's blessings, the covenant of Abraham belongs to you. Now, why am I talking about this? Here's why. Because if the covenant belongs to you, then his God belongs to you. And he is El Shaddai. He is the God who's more than enough. He is the all-sufficient one. He is available and here to nourish you and to minister to you in any area of your life. Your father is the same as Abraham's father, and he is El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. You inherited the covenant of Abraham when you said yes to Jesus Christ. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verse 1. Look what it says, New King James. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, here's what's crazy. This is amazing. That word Almighty is the same Hebrew word in Genesis 17:1. Okay, now, what did God tell Abraham? He said, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the all-sufficient one. Psalms 91, that word Almighty is exactly the same word. It is the Hebrew word El Shaddai. Listen to it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. It's the same word, the same God. Are you with me? Now, you notice in English, they translate words differently, but when you look them up and you study them, you find out it's the very same word. Now, why does that matter? Because I want to show you seven promises in Psalms 91 that belong to you because your Father God is El Shaddai. Now, we're going to go to Psalms 91, verse 14. Psalms 91, verse 14. Look at what it says. It says, because you have set your love upon God. That's what it says. Because he has set his love upon me. What's he talking about? He's talking about you loving God. Now, let's take a simple test. Okay, are you all ready for a test? Now, I'm not going to give you any homework, but we're going to have an in-class test. And if you don't pass, I don't know, all right? Okay, how many of you love God? Would you hold up your hand? Okay, look around. If you see somebody that doesn't have their hand up, slap them. No, I'm kidding. Okay, all right. Now, let me read it to you again. Okay, because you have set your love upon God. Okay, that's every single person in this room. Now, I know you love God or you wouldn't be here tonight. You probably all had a busy day. You did a lot of different things today, and you're in the house of God on Thursday because you're hungry to be in God's presence. All right, you qualify for this verse. Look what it says. Because you've set your love upon me, therefore what? I will deliver him. It says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, here's what we're going to do, and I'm not going to have time for all of it tonight. I want to show you seven things that God promised he would do for you because you love him, because he is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. The very first thing he promised that he would do is he would deliver you. Now, I want to read to you out of Acts 10:38, and I love this verse. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Listen, the devil cannot oppress you because God is with you. Okay, God promised he would deliver you. He'll deliver your house. He'll deliver your children. He'll deliver your grandchildren. He'll deliver your marriage. He'll deliver your business. Whatever you've got going on in your life, God promised because you love him, and you already said you do, so this belongs to you. Now, don't let the devil tell you, well, yeah, but you don't love him enough. No, that's a lie. Okay, don't you let the devil disqualify you from the blessing of God. Because you love God, and because he's El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough, he said, I'll do what? I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you. God sent Jesus to deliver us. Amen? So you and I have been delivered. Let me show you the second one. The second thing God said he would do is he said he would answer you. Okay? I'll deliver you. And I'll answer you when you call upon me. All right, look at what it says. It says, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, I love that verse, Jeremiah 33:3. You know what that is, right? Well, it's God's phone number. Did y'all know that? God has a cell phone. I don't know if it's an Android or an Apple. I don't know which one it is. Whichever one you think, right? Okay, but God has a phone number. What is his phone number? It's Jeremiah 33:3. We teach the kids that in Power Kids. Okay, God has a phone number, and it's Jeremiah 33:3. And what does it say? It says, if you'll call on me, I'll answer you. I love that, don't you? If you'll call on me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Why? Because I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough. I'm the all-sufficient one. So whatever situation you find yourself in, God said he would deliver you, okay? If you need to talk to God, if you need to be with God in whatever regard or whatever things going on in your life, you call on him and he'll answer you. Why? Because he's El Shaddai. He's the God who's more than enough. And he promised to meet your every need. All right, I want to show you another verse. I want to go to Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what it says. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hey, have you ever been in trouble before? Now, I don't mean like in trouble at school, right? We've probably all been in trouble. I know Jason and I have been in trouble at school, right? Definitely, right? Okay. But you may have had times in your life where you have faced trouble. You have faced a situation and you think, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen here. Okay. You know, when I was a young man, not even a young man, as a kid, I got my very first checkbook. And it was a huge, big deal. I was probably about 16. I had my first job. I had gotten a driver's license. I'd gotten a car. And I got a checkbook. And, oh, man, it was a big thing. And I was excited. And my parents were excited and happy. And so my mother ran out of checks. And so she went to get a new book to put in her checkbook. And she accidentally got one of my checkbooks and put in her checkbook. And then that month, she paid all of her bills with my checks. And I had about $40 in the bank, okay? And you know what happened, right? It was not good, okay? You know what happened to my checkbook, don't you? And it was not my fault, okay? It got thrown in the trash is what happened to my checkbook. I can remember how upset my parents were, how mad they were. I remember they took my checkbook and they tore it up and they threw it in the trash. And I don't even have a checkbook now. Now, Miss Vicky has one, amen? And my name's on it, isn't it? Yeah, my name is on her checkbook. From then on, I can remember how upset my mother was because of the mess it made and all the problems that it caused. And that really wasn't a serious problem. It got all rectified and straightened out. But here's what God said. God says, if you have trouble, I'll be with you in trouble. Now, let me tell you this. God never promised we wouldn't have trouble. No, right? I mean, we live in the world, and in the world, we're going to have trouble. I mean, there are times in our life where things don't look good. There's times in our lives where things don't go our way. But God promised, because he's El Shaddai, if you're in trouble, I'll be with you in trouble. Listen to it. God is my refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be moved, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, or think about it. Now, I know the mountains aren't being moved. That's pretty serious stuff. But would it not be fair to say that there's some crazy things going on right now? I mean, we've been dealing with COVID-19 since way back in, what, March? We had our very first ground zero last night, and we haven't had ground zero in 26 weeks. It's been 26 weeks, and 2 weeks from now, we're going to start Power Kids back. So we are just now getting ground zero going again, and we haven't done it since March. I mean, things are crazy. Things are going on. Okay, with that thought, look at what God said. He said, number one, you don't have to be afraid. Even though the earth be removed, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and they are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, God, what did he say? I'll be your refuge, I'll be your strength, and I'll be with you in trouble. Yeah. Praise God. Amen? That should strengthen us and encourage us. Why? Well, what did God tell Abraham? He said, hey, Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough. I am the all-sufficient one. I will nourish you. I will strengthen you. I will take care of you. Then we found out in Psalms 91 that God is also El Shaddai in Psalms 91. And that if you will set your love upon him, and everybody here raised their hand and said they love God and that you've done that, then God said, I will be with you in trouble. All right? If you call on me, I will answer. I will rescue you. I'll be your refuge. Now, here's what I want tonight. I want you to be encouraged that your God is El Shaddai. Your God is more than enough for you, whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're dealing with in your life, that he is sufficient. He's bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than any situation in your life, and he'll take care of you. I have a cousin that I was visiting with not very long ago, and his mother-in-law, his wife's mother, just recently had her 90th birthday. She went to the doctor 4 years ago and had some tests run, and they said, you have a very aggressive type of cancer, and they told her what type it was. He told me what type it was. And they basically said, you know, do you want to do chemo? If you'll do chemo, it will extend your life. And she said, well, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to suffer through that. She was in her 80s, and she said, I don't want to. And the doctor said, well, he said, here's what you need to do. You just need to go home, and probably you'll live 6 to 8 weeks and, you know, get your affairs in order, and in 6 to 8 weeks you'll probably pass away. That was 4 years ago. She just had her 90th birthday. That's El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. Now, they're Christians, and they prayed, and they trusted God just like we do, but I just was so amused by that. And thank God for doctors, and I'm grateful for doctors. I'm alive because doctors have helped take care of me, but they don't have all the answers, and they're not the final authority. Amen? And I couldn't help but laugh when he told me this story, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he said, and that was 4 years ago, and she just had her 90th birthday. And she's been fine the last 4 years. Listen, you serve El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. And he is enough and sufficient enough to meet every need that you have. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand up. Let me pray for you. We'll stop right there. Father God, I want to thank you tonight that you are El Shaddai. In our lives, you are the God who's more than enough. You are the all-sufficient one, that you are our nourisher. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight that we leave this place strengthened, encouraged, refreshed, because you meet every need we have. Father, I love you and I praise you, and I'm so grateful tonight for what you're doing in our lives. What you're doing in our family, in our homes, what you're doing in our communities, and even in our nation, that you are sufficient. You're enough, Father. There's nothing bigger than you. You're enough. And Lord, we lean into you. Father God, I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful for your love and for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. Go and be blessed and have a great rest of your week. We love you.